Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are, every Friday, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful Los Angeles. And welcome to the show, everybody. I have a wonderful guest coming on today, as always, actually, but I think you're really going to be interested in this particular subject. This is actually one of the most common issues that I deal with in my private practice, and of course that My special guest, who I will introduce in just a bit, deals with on a daily basis. He's an expert, as a matter of fact. It's about cheating and infidelity. Yeah, I know. I did the social media thing, and we're popping on a lot more listeners. I see it. I see it happening here. So why don't you guys get it? Huh? First of all, let me just say this. I'm not going to beat up on the men today. My guest, Robert Weiss, LCSW, and I are not going to beat up on you. All right? This is not a, you know, let's bust the bad guys thing. This is a learning experience. And girls, come on. Give me a call. Guys want to hear from you. 323-203-0815. Or you can email me directly at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have questions or comments, would love to hear what you have to say. And here's the thing, guys. When you cheat, it isn't any specific sexual act that causes your partners or women like myself the most pain. I want you to understand this. What hurts the most is the lying. Yeah, and the manipulating and secrecy that cheating inevitably requires. See, the thing is that you're going to hear a little bit later in the show, men and women are very different in their approaches to dating and mating and sex and all that. And this difference is amplified when it's a man who's cheated on a woman because, you know, let's face it, guys, let's keep it real. We're keeping it real today. Well, we always do here, but guys are more often comfortable than women at compartmentalizing things. And I tell this to women all the time. I try to explain man brain. You know, they put things into little compartments, like porn use and casual encounters. They don't view these actions usually as cheating, per se. And again, guys, I'm not, you know, really, I'm being kind of general here. And there's a lot of guys who don't always think this way. But generally speaking, mind-brain is different. Some guys say, hey, you know what? What she doesn't know won't hurt her. I hear that a lot in my office. You know, it kind of justifies their behavior and continuing their behavior. But the problem is that when we find out, we think of it as like an affront to our relationship, plain and simple. So if you guys are usually thinking, that was fun, but now it's time to go back home to my wife. She's thinking, if he loved me, he wouldn't do this to me. Period, end of report. That's kind of the way it goes. So, I mean, I'm just letting you know, woman brain. That's it. So today, my guest and I are going to be talking about helping you, you know, with your relationship, how to own your own mess and clean it up, right? So we're going to find out what constitutes infidelity. I was always looking at porn. It's okay. It's not really, I'm having no encounters with a woman face to face or whatever. You're going to find out how women and men view relationship betrayal, what to expect from a betrayed partner in the short and long term, and most importantly, how to make your way out of the doghouse. because that's the name of the book, basically. So without further ado, I'm bringing up my special guest. He is the author of the book we're talking about today, Robert Weiss, LCSW. The book's called Out of the Doghouse, A Step-by-Step Relationship-Saving Guide for Men Caught Cheating. Now, this Robert man here is an amazing expert. He's a senior vice president of National Clinical Development for Elements Behavioral Health. He's creating and overseeing addiction and mental health treatment programs for more than a dozen high-end treatment facilities, including Promises Treatment Centers here in Malibu, The Ranch in rural Tennessee, and The Right Step in Texas. An intentionally acknowledged clinician, Rob has served as a subject expert on the intersection of human intimacy, digital technology for multiple media outlets. So he's been on everybody's show. He's been on Oprah's show and, of course, the New York Times, LA Times, Daily Beast, CNN, you name it, he's there. And, of course, we're talking about his latest book, and we'll tell you how to get his last book, which was a beauty, too. The 101, Sex Addiction 101, A Basic Guide to Healing. Anyway, this book, Out of the Doghouse, guys, right now. Bring them up, guys. Thank you, engineer. Hello, Robert Weiss. How are you?
Well, I think you just did the show. Thanks. It's been great being on.
It's been great having you, and have a nice day. Bye-bye. We'll keep in touch.
I think that just means you get the issue.
I think I read the book. You know what? I couldn't stop reading the book. When I got it, I couldn't put it down because it reads so well. And, you know,
I need this
help in my practice. You helped me.
Well, I've worked with enough. I mean, my work has been, as you said, over the past 25 years, working with profound infidelity and sex addiction and addictive relationships. And, you know, really the worst challenges that couples can face. So, you know, you got to figure after spending, you know, if I spent 20 years gardening, I'd probably be a pretty good gardener, I hope.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Having spent 20 or 25 years helping couples figure out how to heal from infidelity and betrayal, I think I got a few clues for them that they may not always be thinking about.
I think you do.
So I wrote the book.
You did well, I'm telling you. And in a little while, guys, we're going to tell you how you can get a hold of Robert's book and also find out more about him. And like I said, his other books as well. So who do you think is going to be reading this book? That's what I was interested in, because as a woman,
I was into it,
you know.
I can tell you exactly who this audience, who this book is for. Actually, I'll tell you a story. I have a niece who's about 23, and I thought, well, I want to test my book cover and see what she thinks this is for. And so I showed my niece the book cover and said, what do you think? And she said, well, that's for all my girlfriends who are being cheated on to read and give to their boyfriends. And I said, you got it.
Yeah.
So the book is written for the woman who has or is experiencing betrayal of a sexual or romantic nature.
Yes.
To read and, or at least to browse through. It's really not for her, but for her to understand that, yes, this is the message that men need to hear about how to heal a relationship. And then it really is for them to, I'll use a nice word, hand to, although I think the more frequent action would be throw at their man.
Yes.
And say, here, figure this out if you want to heal this relationship. And if and I've got to tell you, you know, I don't think the guys are going to, I'm not as tender with men as you might be, maybe because I am one, but I don't think guys really know how to heal. Heal betrayal. I really think they think a box of candy and some flowers and a couple of weeks gone by should pretty much do it.
Right.
And that's not how most women feel.
And that's really true. And this is not let's beat up on the guys, like I said, right, Robert? Nah, we're not doing that. We're just
Well, we can beat it up on a little bit.
Okay.
Women cheat too. It's just they seem to be better at it. And we don't see nearly as much challenges in the culture around it. So I would suggest that women are either better at hiding it or they're better at healing it. But as you know, most unfaithful couples who are coming into our offices often, not all the time, but maybe 80% of the time involve a man who has cheated on a woman. So I'm picking that population to start with, and we'll get to the woman's book next.
That's a great tip. Good for you. We need that. We do. So you say that your definition of infidelity is really much in line with women's definition. So what is that? Or cheating? What is?
Well, I don't really. I don't know. I mean, I can't say if it's a woman's definition or a man's definition. What's happened for me in my work is that I started out working with couples and infidelity and sexual infidelity, all that stuff, and then pre-internet.
Yeah.
And I watched in the 90s as the internet showed up, and all of a sudden my little practice boomed because people were struggling with hookups and online porn and online, you know, and then webcam things and social media. So as it all rolled out, what we found and what we have found is a culture, American culture, that has a lot more access to sexual content and sexual hookups.
Right.
In a way that we didn't have before.
That's for
sure. I mean, you know, in 1985, when I was 26, if I wanted to go get laid, I went to a, you know, I put on a cheap shirt and some bad cologne. I went down to a bar.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if I saw the right person and we had the right conversation and the light was right, and we'd have enough alcohol, we might go home and have sex.
Right, because by 2 a.m., everybody looks good, right?
But now I pick up the phone. And in 3.4 seconds, I'm connected to Grindr or Ashley Madison or Tinder or any of the many adult friend finder, meaning sex apps. And, you know, how long does it take me to find a partner within 1,000 feet? Just so I could find a good Italian restaurant. So, you know, or even porn. You know, if I wanted to go look for porn in 1985, I would have to get on my bicycle, as I had at the time, and bike down to that icky porn shop in Van Nuys under the bridge. You know the one I'm talking about.
Sure.
And it had the sticky floors and the bad smells. And I didn't want to look at anyone there. And I grabbed my little magazine, my little video, which, by the way, back then was so expensive, I often had to take it back because it was a rental.
Oh,
and then I'd get my little bunch of images, not me, all men or women. And we'd get our little bunch of images on our little magazine and video and take them home. And then how long does it take to wear through the, that limited number of images? Not that long. But what is porn now? It's endless. It's immediate. God, it is. It's all the time. And so it's not that these things are good or bad or right or wrong. It's just that, like alcohol, while most people, you know, enjoy these freedoms without a problem, there are some of us who get caught up in problems related to sex or some of the online experiences. So I've seen a sea change in behavior related to access to sexuality.
Right.
And for some people, that's causing problems.
Right, right. That's
so when you asked me a question, I didn't answer it. What a typical author, right? You asked me a question, how do I define infidelity? And my answer, my long-winded answer was, then my redefinition of infidelity came out because of the digital age. Because back in the day, pre-internet, I think what an affair was, you know, you and I might be working together, and then we were working late nights, and then we were smooching, and then we were going business trips together, and everyone kind of knew about it, and I might have lipstick on my collar. But that's not what an affair is today. What if I'm sitting in my office at home looking at a webcam, watching another person strip, and I'm talking to them, and they're talking to me, and we're getting hot and heavy, and then my spouse comes in, and I say, oh, honey, it's just like Playboy, only it's now.
Yes, exactly.
Well, they see me standing there naked, and they see that other person naked, and they don't feel, and then I say, it's not like I'm cheating, it's just like my dad looked at Playboy. Well, most women I've experienced do not look at it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, we have seen a lot of change related to our access to sexual content and sexual experiences, and that is just making cheating so much, forget addictions, it's making cheating so much easier.
Yeah, it sure does.
And by the way, if you want to have an open relationship, go ahead. I'm not committed to monogamy for your relationship. You can have any kind of relationship that you want.
Right.
But if you're a man who's entered a relationship and you've made a commitment to that woman to be monogamous, then you have, whether it's in marriage or in a long-term relationship, you've made a contract with your word.
Right.
Now, if that were business and you broke that contract and went out and did what you wanted anyway, and you broke a business contract, there'd probably be legal ramifications.
That's
so
right.
That's when you break a contract with a woman in your marriage or relationship, how come you just expect to have a couple of bad days?
Right.
It's probably going to be worse than that.
No, you said it, man. That is so true. Guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Robert Weiss, LCSW. He is an expert in relationships and also VP of the National Clinical Development for Elements Behavioral Health. We're talking about his latest book, Out of the Doghouse, a step-by-step relationship-saving guide for men caught cheating. It's a really good read. Really understandable. Also, you're welcome. What I also like about it is there's worksheets in it, like reflections, things to reflect about. Am I doing that?
Well, this is not going to be an easy book for men to read.
Yeah, that's very true. But it's gentle. You're gentle. You're not too bad on them.
Well, I told him that, though. I mean, I do say in the book, guys, you know, you're not going to like what I have to say.
Yeah,
and
you do.
Feel free to throw the book away. Feel free to call me and write me. You know, you can't call me, but feel free to email me a nasty note. You don't understand me, guys, at all.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about what you think of me. What I care about is this. If you want to repair the relationship with your woman, mm-hmm. you're going to read this book and you're going to do what I tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is what works.
Right, exactly. So in your book, you suggest that, you know, most men who cheat on their intimate partners, they're going to be justifying their behavior with all sorts of ridiculous excuses like, well, every guy wants to have sex with other women, and when the opportunity arises, he acts on it. Right? Or, you know, if my job weren't so stressful, I hear this one all the time, by the way, if I weren't so stressed out, I wouldn't need the release that porn gives me. Right? I hear that one a lot. Or like in your book, you say, monogamy means no romantic connections. So I'm going to justify it by saying a lap dance in a strip club, it's hardly romantic. So what are some of the common unflattering real reasons that guys cheat on their partners?
Well, you know, I think people cheat for all kinds of things. And as you said earlier, and I think you said it really well, is that men, our brains are different around sex. We have men brain. Mm-hmm. Men, honestly, it doesn't matter whether we're gay or straight, we're men first, sure. And we have man brain.
Yeah.
And man brain says this, you know, when walking down the street and seeing someone really attractive, man brain says, ooh, that looks really, really good. I think I'd like to get some of that. I wonder how I could get into that conversation. Maybe we could...
Yep.
Dot, dot, dot. And
yep.
then somewhere in all of that, there's this dim voice that says, but you're married. Or you're in a relationship. And then we kind of say, oh, that's right. I better move on.
Right.
And women, more typically, every woman, most healthy woman I've met, will look at that hot guy in the street and say, he's cute. I wonder what my husband and I are doing for dinner.
That's it. That's exactly right.
So it's a whole different way of... So a woman is thinking, well, that's an attractive person, but let me think about my commitments and what's where. And by the way, you can see this in the brain.
Right.
When you see men and women exposed to pornography in fMRI studies,
yes.
brain studies, you can see that the way men respond is almost purely sexually and with not a lot of intellectual input. Our prefrontal lobes do not light up that much when we're really interested in sex.
Right.
But women, they get... You show them arousing images, and they start thinking. They start thinking, well, this is a nice person. Is he going to be good to me? Is he going to treat me well? Will we have a good time together? Am I safe? Which, you know, sort of makes sense that a woman, even in terms of our sort of evolution, that women would be thinking more because they have to watch out for pregnancy and safety and all of that.
Sure.
So men and women are built differently in how we think about sex.
Right.
Which leads to exactly what you said. It's, you know, hey, I got a bachelor party to go to, and it's just a lap dance, and to me that's like going to the gym. It's a good workout. I'll feel better lately, but it doesn't mean anything to me.
Right.
And guys, it doesn't matter that it doesn't mean anything to you. It is going to mean something to your woman.
Yes.
And that's what I want to say is that when it's what you said a moment ago, you know, you say, oh, it's just a lap dance, and that was great. It was like a good workout, and I'm going to go home. And if your spouse finds out, they're going to say things like, what about the kids?
Yes.
What about our house? What about our parents? What about our home? What about the church? In other words, women think much more holistically.
Right.
And they're thinking more relationship-wise. So
right.
if you go out and you fool around with another woman, your spouse is going to think you care about her. It doesn't
right.
matter what your reality is. That's her reality.
That's exactly right.
And so
right.
what I tried to do in Out of the Doghouse was two things. One, to really help men understand and you read this,
yeah.
what a woman feels,
yes.
what her emotional life is when she is betrayed.
Yeah. Yes.
And the other piece of that is really to say, okay, if she is in that kind of pain,
yes.
what do you think are going to be the things that are going to help you heal it?
Exactly. You got to think about those things. So you talk about those five factors, okay, that determine the degree of pain, right, that partners who were cheated
mm-hmm.
on will feel. So what are those five factors? On the degree.
Five factors of?
The degree of pain that the partners who were cheated on are going to be feeling. In other words...
they're going to be blaming them. What guys
right.
often may not
yeah.
notice is that my spouse might blame themselves. You may not see it.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere in there, they're saying, because women do think more holistically, for example, and this is one of the big ones, they're
mm-hmm.
thinking, well, what did I do to make this happen?
Yeah.
Or am I not attractive enough? Or am I not fun enough? Or am I not smart enough? Or, you know, why is he looking at that? Why is he doing that? Because she relates it to herself.
Mm-hmm.
How could she not?
Yeah.
So one of the things that suffers is a woman's self-esteem, because she immediately, no matter how angry she is, she feels like, well, and our culture tells us, you know, well, it's a woman's job to keep a man around, whether you like that or not. And our culture also tells us that men who go out and have a lot of sex are players,
yes.
and women who have a lot of sex are not such nice names.
Yes.
So
yes.
there are all kinds of things in our culture that leave a woman blaming herself and feeling responsible for, you know, the bad behavior of her dude.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, it's so true. So we actually have an email here. It's kind of slipping into the right part of the discussion. And this is from Kara, C-A-R-A. Shall we try to give it a go, see if we can answer this? Because it is in keeping with our next little kind of thing. She said, thanks so much for this show. I snooped into my boyfriend's phone. We've been together for 3 years. Apparently, he's been sending hot pictures of other naked women who are totally the opposite of what I look like to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so hurt by this. Why would he do that? When I confronted him, he said, I'm crazy and insecure. Oy. Okay.
Oy.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
oh dear.
Exchanging hot pictures of other women is something that men have done since we were in the caves.
Okay.
So the version I remember growing up with was the sort of monthly Playboy calendar that all the guys would ogle over at the, you know, when my dad took his car in to get work done, mm-hmm. that's what was up on the wall at the gas station.
Oh, that's right.
So it's not like it's a new, so what I would say to this person is, you know, I wouldn't necessarily be concerned about a guy kind of, you know, share it. To me, that's like sharing football scores on some level.
Yeah.
My concern would be, what else is he doing?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You know, how much time is he spending with porn? How do you feel about your relationship? How's it going? How's sexuality going?
Right.
In other words, one incident of something that may disturb you or make you uncomfortable, if healthfully talked about and discussed, doesn't have to be a game changer. You know,
right.
While I understand the fear and the anger in that situation, mm-hmm. I don't know if that man's so much cheating.
Right.
But this, you know, I think this brings us to the question of cheating in the digital age.
Right.
And really, the cheating in the digital age is the keeping of secrets in an intimate relationship. It's the keeping of profound secrets in an intimate relationship.
Right.
So, you know, what I understand from this caller, you know, is what I hear from a lot of women whose guys are looking at porn, and it goes like this. And every guy in America is looking at porn, by the way.
Yeah.
Many women in America are looking at porn, and everyone between the ages of 13 and 18 is looking at porn.
Yeah.
So just so you know, it's a universal experience.
Exactly.
So there's nothing wrong with porn. Porn isn't bad. You know, there's nothing wrong with alcohol. Alcohol isn't bad. It's just if you've agreed not to drink, alcohol is a problem. And if you've agreed not to cheat, porn is a problem only if it's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just set a scenario for you, you know, because I've worked with this.
Right.
The couple that says, you know, at some point, honey, I look at porn occasionally. I just want you to know that. I know you do too occasionally. You know, we have our own little lives of our own within our relationship. And if you find porn, just know that, you know, once in a while I look at it.
Right.
If your relationship's going well and you don't have moral or religious objections to that, and that's a part of your lives, who cares?
Right.
However, if your spouse comes home and goes to your computer and she finds 500 images of porn and chats with other women and she knew nothing about it,
right,
and she had no idea that you ever looked at this,
right,
she's going to be pissed.
Right.
And not too much because of what you were looking at, but the fact that she didn't know.
Yes, exactly. It's about the betrayal of just kind of tell me. But I think a lot of guys hold off, as I've heard in sessions. They don't want to share this information because the women are going to freak out. Like, well, don't you think I'm hot? Why are you staring at her? In other words, we don't get it about the compartmentalization of women. It's like,
well,
you know.
I think that this is a bigger conversation, which is something that I kind of want to. It's a book yet to be written called Sexual Integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it speaks simply of this. You know, I think men have learned well and long what women want in relationships, how they want to be treated, what they want said to them, what makes romance. I mean, men are quick learners. You know, and by the way, what we do behind closed doors, what we say to each other, a la our new president, you know, may be very different than how we treat our spouses or treat women in real time.
Yeah,
so, you know, that woman caller may indeed just have experienced something like, you know, oh, this is what I do with women. Well, here's some pictures of women. You know, that I can understand her anger at the objectification and the lack of feeling for those women and treating them as objects. I'm not sure it's a relationship problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, where were we?
You're so
talk
cool.
myself.
That's right. No.
Into the corner.
No, you're cool. No, we were just talking about, you know, how women, you know, just say, isn't he loving me or loving my body? Or why does he have
to? You're talking about asking the question.
Yeah, me you know, for
I
somebody
think
else.
It's, what's fast?
Yeah.
Well, here's something to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I was married many years ago, and we had to go through marital counseling.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, they asked us many questions about you know, who we were as people and how we might get along. And of course, one of the major questions is, do you want to have kids? Because right. if one person doesn't want to and one person does, it's going to be, those are relationship breakers. Right?
Sure.
And you want to bring those up at the beginning. But I have not seen a counselor, a marriage counselor yet, who's trained to say, so how do you guys feel about monogamy?
Yeah.
And where's your intention? And while right now you may say it's great and you're really excited about it, what do you think is going to happen in 10 years
mm-hmm.
when you're only having sex once a month?
Yeah.
Are you going to, in other words, I think we're very adept at talking about how women feel most comfortable in relationships and intimacy and sexuality.
Right.
But we don't talk about men very much.
Yes.
I don't think women really want to hear it.
Right. I don't think they do. I agree.
The women, it's interesting. You know, I work in Texas. I have some programs there. And I see them. There are more adult bookstores between Memphis and Nashville than any other place in the country because it's a stretch of trucker road, a very long, lonely stretch of trucker
sure.
road.
Lonely.
And I think to myself, okay, whoever's driving by here, someone's keeping this business is busy.
Mm.
Somebody's stopping in at them and then entertaining themselves. And then there's all the strip clubs. And who do wives think go to all those places?
Right.
Do they
exactly.
think they're only single guys? And the minute they're married, they never return to those environments?
Exactly.
So I think there's a healthy, I don't know if it's healthy, but there's certainly a denial that mm-hmm. Kind of a shared denial
mm-hmm.
that my guy is faithful, it's that other guy who's out there doing that.
That's right. It's like, honey, I have a locator on you, and boy, you sure have been going to a lot of bachelor parties lately, haven't you? There, you know, you, you know, you said there's,
well, that's what comes after cheating. The locators come after your cheating.
Oh, that's right.
The locators come when you want to rebuild trust, and you want to say, honey, I don't trust a word you're saying, so now I want to check where you are every hour.
Yeah, exactly.
And what guy's going to want to say yes to that except the guy who wants to save his relationship?
Yeah. Now, here's a question that is probably a no-brainer, but I just really need to ask this because in my couple sessions, as I know you have experienced, women who've been cheated on say to their guy, or in whatever, you know, gay couples, lesbian couples, what? How would you mm-hmm. feel, all right? How would you feel if I went out and went to, you know, the Chippendales and did a lap mm-hmm. dance with him? Or how would you feel
mm-hmm.
if I was checking out these mm-hmm. hot guys? How would you feel? And mm-hmm. now, because guys compartmentalize sex as a thing, just it's just a thing, and then they've got the testosterone man brain, and it's no biggie. How do men react to women when women cheat? Is it a different, like, oh, well, she just, you know, needed to do what she needed to do like I do? What?
Well, interestingly, I mean, I didn't write a book. I wasn't writing a guide for people to heal relationships. I wrote a guide for men to heal their relationships.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things with women. First of all, I think women do a better job of cheating.
Okay.
They hide it better. We don't suspect it as much because men are expected to be players,
right?
But married or committed women are supposed to be faithful.
Mm.
That's how it works. So we don't even think that our woman would be cheating on us. Mm. Whereas women are often thinking, you went to that trip and you didn't answer the phone at 9:30. We said be in this room. I wonder what's going on. Men don't often think that way about their women.
Right.
And then when we find out that a woman's been cheating, we have a different experience.
Right.
Because a woman will, and I'm generalizing, we are generalizing, but in general, a woman, because of how women think, will say, oh my God, he's been lying to me about this. What else is he lying about? And now I can't trust him with money. And now I can't trust him with, you know, with my best friend. And I can't trust, you know, what. So the whole trust was out the window around everything.
Yes.
And a man will more often think, well, what was I not? Was I not, like, making enough money? Was I not big enough, hard enough? So men will be more personal about it.
Exactly.
Like, what ego focus? Like, what is it about me
right.
that she... Whereas women will think that, you know, was I not thin enough, attractive enough? But the consequence on the woman is more the greater fear that everything she believes this man to be is a lie.
Right.
Whereas
right.
a man will think much more like, well, like, you know, what it feels more like a put down, like a personal, you know, mm-hmm. Like grinding a cigarette on our foot or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas for a woman, it feels like more like grinding that cigarette on the whole family.
Yes, exactly. I agree. By the way, in case you just tuned in, guys, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. And I'm talking with Robert Weiss, LCSW, about his latest book. It's a beauty. It's really a helpful book for both women and men. It's called Out of the Doghouse, a Step-by-Step Relationship Saving Guide for Men Caught Cheating. And in a little bit, we're going to give you his website, let you know how you can find out more about Robert and also get a hold of this book and also his other books. as well, which are terrific because he is an expert. You know, he's a senior VP of National Clinical Development for Elements Behavioral Health, and he's created and is overseeing addiction and mental health treatment programs for more than a dozen high-end treatment facilities all over the country here. So this is the man, and this is a really good book. It also has reflections and little places for you to journal and think about things. Guys, so moving on.
See, you can be a fat. You are getting a little more pointed toward the guys now.
Yeah?
I appreciate that.
See
it's
how
okay to
that?
Give us a hard time.
We're I
not
know.
Gonna, listen, if you want to heal, you're going to do what you need to do.
Yes. Exactly. And again, I will go back to it's man brain versus woman brain. We don't have that much testosterone, and that's a good thing.
Well, ladies cheat all the time, but maybe for
yes.
different reasons.
Yes.
Less, more emotionally based
yes,
than purely physically.
Exactly.
And more often because they're feeling emotionally empty. And, well, gosh, guys, if you weren't out there having that lap dance in Vegas, you might be less likely to have your woman cheating.
Exactly. You think? You know, and I do have some emails coming in, but I want to just kind of ask a few more questions before we tackle a couple more here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So in your book, you kind of like suggest a lot of questions that guys should ask themselves about whether they should stay in the relationship, or women should ask why a man cheated on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I say whether they should stay in the relationship or not. So can you just sort of bring to light some of these questions that they may ask about, should I stay or should I go? What should I do?
And you're talking about the guy or the woman?
Yes, exactly. I'm talking about the women.
And no, you're talking about the cheater or the person who's been cheated on?
After really thinking honestly about why a man cheated on you, you suggest some questions that they should ask themselves, you know, about whether they should stay in the relationship. Sorry, I wasn't clear
about
that.
I think there's a broader way maybe you're approaching this, which is that, as I told you, I've been... And as you know, we've met before, and we've heard each other and met. And you know that after 25 years of treating unfaithful couples, you know, the patterns seem to be pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I see women looking for after a cheating has occurred is, in order to determine whether they're going to stay or not, is a change in behavior.
Yeah.
And a commitment to a change in behavior. So it gets really basic when people are in pain. It becomes an honesty, integrity, your word. What has been threatened here to the woman that you've cheated on? It really, you may think it's because you put your genitals inside someone else's genitals and she didn't like that. That is not the issue.
Yep.
But she doesn't like that. But that's not
right.
the issue. Okay. The issue is she didn't know. She thought you were this stand-up guy who would always have her back and never let her down and be the last person who would ever see her be caused harm, and yet you were the person who caused her the harm.
Right.
So she's not going to look at you in the same way for a very long time. But what she is looking for is, are you someone who can own that, who can take responsibility for that, who can apologize for it without seeking forgiveness, but just be responsible?
Right.
You know, it's the name of your show.
Exactly.
Women want straight talk.
That's exactly right.
They don't want candy and flowers and moonbeams and I'll never do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing they ever want is, this was your fault.
Yes.
Which is one of the most damaging things I think a man can do when he's been cheated on, is to turn around and say to his female spouse, well, if you were just thinner, well, if we just had more sex, well, if you weren't just so involved with the kids.
Right.
Because I'll say this to any man who's not happy. I'll say this to anyone who's not happy in their relationship. It's a good thing to think about. Mm-hmm. If you're not happy in your relationship, you're not getting enough sex, your spouse is gaining too much weight, male or female, you're not having the life you want at home, get a divorce.
Yeah.
Go to marital counseling.
Yes.
Play golf. Start swimming. Go help underprivileged kids. There are so many things you can do that will bring you satisfaction and joy in your life,
right.
Even if you're not getting in your marriage. You don't. The absolute answer to an unhappy marriage is not, oh, I need to go cheat.
Mm-hmm.
But that seems to be the go-to for anyone who's unhappy in their relationship, because then they can justify the cheating by saying, well, I wasn't happy in my relationship, and that is really hard on a spouse.
Oh, gosh, that's so true. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, LA Talk Radio here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today, Robert Weiss, LCSW. We're talking about Out of the Doghouse, a step-by-step relationship-saving guide for men caught cheating. So let's talk about the healing process here, guys. How are you going to rebuild some relationship trust? So you suggest...
Well, go
ahead.
Yeah, I really appreciate that question because, yeah. I mean, all your questions are great, but that one really goes to the heart of why this book is called Out of the Doghouse.
Yeah.
Most of what I write comes out of lectures and things that I've been teaching to clients and to therapists. So, you know, what I've noticed is that men don't really necessarily seem to understand the depth of pain they've caused when they've cheated or what it takes to heal it.
Yeah.
And I see things happen like, and I'll give some quotes. Well, honey, it's been 6 weeks. When are you going to give me a break?
Right.
Well, he was cheating for 3 years. They were married for 12.
Oh.
But in 6 weeks, she's supposed to stop being angry or giving candy and flowers and, you know, trying to make it up or saying I'm sorry for the 1,000th time. So
Yes. There
are a lot of things that men can do to make this worse.
Right.
Like, as I said, trying to blame the spouse, trying to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working it all the time and I just don't have any support and poor me. And your spouse doesn't care about you at that moment.
That's right.
They're caring about them.
That's right.
So they're not interested in, and actually the why you did it is not nearly as important as the fact that you did it.
Right.
So even before we get to why you did it, let's talk about, because spouses often want that answer.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I would say the betrayed spouses want every answer.
Exactly.
The most avid consumer of self-help books around cheating and infidelity are women. Because women want to understand, and guys just kind of want to ignore this topic altogether.
Right. That's true.
So a guy who's cheated and is in trouble, his greatest goal is for the dark clouds to pass.
Yes.
What he wants most of all is for all of the pain and the heartache and the suffering to go away as quickly as possible.
Sure.
Now, he may want it to go away in a loving way, or he may just want it to go away.
Yep.
So, and most often he isn't at least initially concerned about, is this person going to leave me?
Right.
Are they going to divorce me? You know, what's going to happen? Are they going to tell my mother? You know, what's going to happen here? And so men understandably try to minimize the damage.
Right.
And that, of course, is the worst thing they can do. It was just once. It was only this person. I never thought about anyone else in our whole marriage. You know, I still love all of the stuff that doesn't matter who to the spouse. They're busily spinning.
Yes.
And what the man doesn't understand is that he's in the doghouse.
Yeah.
So
big
I have,
time.
I have puppies.
Yep.
Well, actually, they're grown dogs now. But when they were puppies, when one of them would piddle in the house, they got put out in the doghouse.
Yeah.
And that meant the following. You've dirtied our home. You've done a bad thing to our family. And you don't get all the warm, fuzzy stuff that you get when you are being good in this family because you've hurt our family.
That's right.
The dog is at the doghouse, and they don't get that nice soft bed and that yummy dinner. They got to sit out there and howl a little bit. And I would say to men, it's the same thing. You know, you have harmed your home.
Mm-hmm.
You were the one who said, I will protect and defend, and yet you brought the pain and the harm right to your doorstep.
Right.
So you're no longer equal with your partner. It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because guys are this or that. You've simply broken a commitment, a word-based agreement you made with your partner that they were expecting you to keep.
Yeah.
And when you break a profound commitment with someone, they are going to be angry and hurt for as long as they want or need to be angry and hurt.
Sure.
And our job is to let them, well, let me try it this way.
Mm.
When I'm working with a betrayed female spouse, and she says things like, I feel like crazy is my new normal. I don't know what's happening. I will say, you're right. Crazy is your new normal because your world's been turned upside down. And she'll say to me, well, what is my job now? What do I do? And I will simply say to her betrayed spouse, your job is to be angry.
Yes.
And to figure out whether or not you want to stay with him.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes, exactly.
You don't have to do anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest is up to him in the beginning.
Right.
So we're talking about stages here. In the beginning, when that person is really angry, don't try to make it better.
Mm-mm.
Own it.
Yep. Own it.
And by the way, one of the worst things that I see in couples is what I would call partial sharing. In other words, you found out that I did X, but I know I did X, Y, Z, but I'll only tell you about X, and I'll tell you that I only ever did X because I don't want you to know about Y and Z.
Right.
And so you think, okay, that's all it was. I can trust him again. And then two months later, you find out about Y and Z.
Yes.
You're going to be even more angry, hurt even more, and it'll be even harder to heal the trust.
Exactly. So you need to create kind of a personal fidelity plan, right? When you know, part of the healing.
I think a personal integrity plan.
Yes.
Which involves, you know, things like I'm not going to say I'm sorry every 5 minutes. I'm not going to explain it all the time. I'm not going to expect you to understand. And also, I think, you know, you have to understand what's been broken. If trust is the thing that's broken, then you lose the right to, let's say, come home an hour late.
Yep.
And not call.
Yep.
Because remember when you used to come home a couple hours late and you were actually fooling around? Well, now you're really working and going to the grocery store and picking up the baby's formula and you're pissed because your spouse is saying, I don't trust you. Why are you late? And you're late because traffic was bad. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
She doesn't trust you. Your job is to say, you know what? I'm not doing anything right now, but I completely understand why you would be angry at me considering what I used to be doing when I came home late.
Exactly.
And that's because she doesn't trust you.
Yes, exactly. You're not going to talk your way out of it. You're going to have to show action and stick to a plan. You know, be honest and be clear and be flexible and be patient and amend those lies.
Like, and be patient.
Exactly.
And don't expect that. And, you know, I see couples, and you know this too.
Yeah.
They're working on healing betrayal, and they have a good weekend, or they have a good week.
Yeah.
Then they're at the mall, and that spouse walks by the Victoria's Secret window, and she starts thinking about that's what the women you were with were wearing, and that's what I got betrayed by. All of a sudden, you know, even in the middle of this great weekend, she's furious, and you think, she's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not crazy. She just got triggered seeing and being reminded of the pain that she was caused. So it's kind of like a roller coaster. Spouses go up and down.
Yeah.
They're close to you. They're far from you.
Sure.
They're angry at you. They love you. And you have to just kind of tolerate all of that and understand that's a part of their healing.
Yeah, it's processes of back and forth feelings, you know. It's almost like the loss of a loved one. It's like the mourning.
And what men call detective work.
Yes.
Which is, and they will do this, your spouse will go through your wallet, she'll go through your cell phone, she will go through your browser on your computer, she may hire someone to follow you, and she is going to find out exactly what you've been doing.
That's right.
And but what we call that is kind of self-safety behavior.
Right.
Because what she's trying to do is determine how bad is this, how far-reaching is it.
Right.
If I can't trust him to be honest with me, then what is really going on? She's going through your stuff not because she wants to leave you.
Yep.
She's going through your stuff because she wants to find a reason to stay.
Exactly, she is. And I think that's what guys don't understand. You know, she's really trying to find out, you know, come on, how bad is this, like you said. And I have had women who've come to see me and said, should I hire a private detective? Well, sure, if you want to, if that'll help. And then, of course, couples.
If that helps you regain trust, then go right ahead.
Yeah, if it'll make
you
feel
better. And then when a guy says, I can't believe that my wife wants to track my phone or have me followed by a detective, it's like, well, but you've been lying to her for 2 years. Why wouldn't she want to do that? Isn't that perfectly normal? Well, but it's a marriage. You have to have trust.
Exactly.
You don't have trust anymore. You broke that trust. By doing this, she's trying to rebuild the trust, even though you don't like it.
Exactly.
It kind of goes like, that's what Doghouse is all about.
No, it's really true. It's so good. So you got to allow the woman to go through her process if she finds out you've been cheated on, and just let her sort of do what she needs to do and work through it. Now, how do you feel about women who are just really blatantly or passively aggressively for long periods of time punishing men? Even after they've been proven to really try to work on the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
You know, I'm so glad you're a therapist, because only think of great questions like that. So the question is, I've been a patient guy. I've been a loving guy. I realized I screwed up. I did something I didn't let her know about, and then she found out about it. She's really hurt. She doesn't trust me. I get all that. But when is she going to stop being so angry? It's been 3 months. It's been 6 months. It's been 9 months.
Yeah.
When is she going to stop? You know, and the reality is, couple of things. Number one, we really believe it takes anywhere from 9 to 18 months, depending on how long the couple was together and the degree of the infidelity and how it was handled after it was found out.
Right.
It can take a year or more before that spouse is going to calm down. And 99.9% of men I've met are really done with their spouse's anger in about 3 months. It's like, okay, enough already.
I can't deal with this.
Now it's summer.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, that was Valentine's Day. Now it's summer. You know, so the most important thing I think men need to understand is that it takes time to rebuild trust.
Right.
You know, if you had an employee who was stealing from you and you decided to keep them on, I don't think you'd let them have access to the petty cash box for a while.
Yeah.
You might want to regain trust, but you're not going to give them that key maybe for a while.
Exactly.
And then 3 years later, if you saw them with the key in the cash box early in the morning before anyone else was at work, you'd probably think, are they at it again, even though they had been the greatest employee in the world for the last 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Because once trust is broken, it never is the same.
God, it's so true.
And that's a loss for the couple.
It really is.
Because
it really is.
When people come together and they have a naive but wonderful belief that that person will never hurt them, will never let them down, will keep their commitments, will be the idealized partner they always wanted.
Yes.
You know, that's the dream of every, you know, early marriage.
And then
you run into the person they really are at some point.
Exactly.
You have to figure that part out.
Right.
But when you've cheated, and I love this, Beyonce famously said that cheating is like a really nice plate.
Yeah.
You know, when you're cheating out, it's like breaking that plate. That's the relationship. The plate gets broken. And you can glue it back together, and that thing will be very functional.
Yes,
but you'll always see the crack. It will never be the same.
That's really true.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Relationships can be stronger, better, more honest, more intimate after something like this happens.
Yes.
If you follow the directions I give in Doghouse.
That's exactly right, and that's a beautiful place to end because we are running out of time here. But, Robert, thank you so much for being on the show. And what is the best way that people can get your book and find out more about you?
Out of the Doghouse is on Amazon. It's on all, you know, all places you regularly find books.
Right.
Although I have to say, I often find self-help people will want to stream it because they don't necessarily want their person next to them on the bus to see what they're reading.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Again, Out of the Doghouse, a step-by-step relationship saving guide for men caught cheating. Robert Weiss, LCSW, as always, you've been a terrific guest. Thank you so much for coming on.
Let's have more fun together soon, okay?
Let's do it. You got it. I'm looking forward to your next book.
Okay.
All right.
Let's talk about porn and the internet or something that your listeners want to talk about. Look forward to
it. Perfect. I'm down for that. All right, Robert. Take good care now. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Again, we're going to have the show back up in the archives just as soon as we get off the air. Actually, if you'd like to listen to the show again, that's a good idea. You can do it. And or all the information about how to get hold of Robert's book will be up, written in the rerun archives on my webpage here on LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and thank you so much for being on the couch, guys. Always a pleasure to have you with me. And you can write me if you have any questions or comments, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Otherwise, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others. That's the way it is in the world. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Flashing rays of colored light.